Been a long time. 20 years ago, right? The first interview, and then 18 years ago?
Yep, something like that.
Something like that. All right. Mike, it's hard to know where to begin with you. Even back then, it was hard. You connected, I think, with us. Probably we were doing an open lines thing on time travel. Is that how we got together?
It's been so long, I hardly remember.
That was probably it.
If I remember right, somebody faxed you a newspaper article about me,
right,
and then you basically
right,
hunted me down. So
that's right. I hunted you down like a dog. Okay. So at that moment, when I found you, Mike, and I do, you know I use the term madman affectionately, right?
Yeah. It doesn't bother me any, so.
It's kind of stuck, though, huh?
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, well earned, really. When I found you at that moment, you were experimenting, the beginnings of experimental time travel, and you sort of laid it out for me. So if you can remember how you began, tell me. Tell us.
Way back when, basically, I just set out to make a fancy Jacob's ladder. So basically, two metal rods, spark going up the high voltage, spark going up the middle. That's basically like the old Frankenstein movies or whatever.
Right. But, that was the first step, and if I recall correctly, you then modified it with lasers to.
Yeah, basically, I wanted to do something a little bit different, so I decided to basically take a laser and have the laser ignite the arc. So.
Okay, so if I remember correctly, the original one was about how tall? Not that tall.
Oh, yeah, it wasn't all that powerful. I mean, I used clothes hanger wires, so I think it was something like a couple kilowatts.
A couple of kilowatts, okay.
Yeah, and I had no way to measure the laser power, but it was hot enough. I mean, it was hot enough to where it lowered the resistance of the air to get an arc started. So.
And that arc was about how big?
It was 20,000 volts at about 100 milliamps, so probably at the longest at the top before it extinguished, probably 7 or 8 inches long.
All right. So, now, with that early experiment, Mike, was there that little thing appearing above the Jacob's ladder?
Yeah, it didn't exactly work as I expected it would. Basically, what happened was when I fired the laser, the spark stuck where the laser was, and right above it, there was like a little shimmering mirage effect, like anything, like a road in the desert, I guess you could say.
Sure.
This was like a small circular, spherical looking. So I ended up, it's like, whoa, this looks strange. So basically I was wondering, what am I looking at here? So,
what have I done?
Yeah, so I decided to test it because I still had some parts lying around. I decided to toss a screw into it and see if anything happened.
Toss a screw into
the little circular shimmering thing.
That was above the ladder.
Yeah, I mean, I almost didn't notice it. I mean, basically, it was almost invisible. So, but anyhow, I tossed it in there, and the screw disappeared. And then roughly half a second later or so, it reappeared where it would normally be landing. So,
obviously, being a scientist, you thought, I'm sure, I'm probably nuts, and I missed it, and so you tried it again, I'm sure, right away?
Oh, yeah, I tried it several times, and I had the same thing. It did the same thing every time. And I'm like, whoa, I got to get a video. I got to get a camcorder and record this thing, and about not even 10 seconds within that thought, my laser overheated and basically caught fire, so...
Where did you get the laser? I mean, at this early stage, you had no, money, really. Where did you even get the laser?
That's doing things on the cheap like this. Things tend not to last very long, and that's basically what happened. The laser overheated. I more or less salvaged. It was a diode laser out of a CD player. So
okay. At this point, you had not yet had your run-in with the law, right?
Yeah. So, but yeah, long story short, basically, I ended up, it's like, well, if I got to rebuild this thing, let's go ahead and make it bigger.
Right. So what you had was blown up, sort of. I guess there were some salvageable parts, but the laser was all gone.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, I'm probably just use a CO2 laser. I mean, those tend to be high power to begin with, expensive, but at least it would last longer.
I do have this question. Did you come to a conclusion, you know, after throwing that screw through a few times, about what was happening to it?
Well, I mean, at first I'm thinking, okay, maybe. Did I just see what I think I saw? I mean, at first I couldn't. Basically, it's like, am I going nuts?
Of course.
Did I just hallucinate? So, but yeah, I mean, at first I'm thinking, okay, maybe I'm making it invisible or whatever. But then basically I didn't hear it hit the table. So if it's like cloaking it or whatever, it was cloaking the sound too.
Right. So at this point, Mike, were you endeavoring to produce some kind of time travel? Is that what you thought you were doing, or did you not know what you were doing?
Well, I mean, basically, when I first discovered this, I was just making a fancy Jacob's Ladder / light show. So,
okay,
I didn't set out to actually go out and build a time. It's like, I want to build a time machine. Let's try this.
Right.
That's not the way it happens. So,
this is the way great experiments are formed. You know, it starts off like this. So here you are, a burned up laser. You need more parts. You need more power.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, the screw had to have gone somewhere. I mean, did you even begin to theorize and think, well, where in the hell did that thing go?
Yeah, I mean, maybe I just made it invisible, but then I thought, well, if it was just invisible, I'd still hear it hit the table. See, this whole contraption was basically sitting on a makeshift table, 4x8 sheet of plywood.
Right.
So.
Even invisible is cool, right?
Yeah. I mean, they can actually do that these days with metamaterials, but not in 1995, so that had been a major discovery anyway, so.
Sure. So either way, it's cool. Time travel, disappearing, becoming invisible, going to a different spot, all of it is cool, and you can't account for it with any known science that I'm aware of. So anyway, you decided you needed bigger and stronger and more powerful everything.
Yep. And, well, long story short, maybe the transformer I used for this, I wound myself. I'm surprised I didn't catch fire, too, because only at the time, back then, 1995, I didn't have internet access. So basically, if I wanted to learn how to do something, I had to learn trial and error. I mean, if I built something, it blew up, I knew not to build it that way no more.
So. Yeah, winding yourself is problematic at the very least.
Well, these days I have internet access. See, I mean, the basic formulas to build a transformer have been around since the 1840s, but sure. In 1995, with no internet access, I didn't know about the universal EMF equation, so that's
right.
Basically where you start.
Right.
So, and if I was calling, and, well, before I had internet access, I was trying to, like, call around and ask, yeah, how do I build this thing? Like, call around and ask the transformer factories, yeah, I want to build this transformer. How do I do it? What formulas do I use? They didn't want to tell me that, but they wanted to sell me a transformer. So.
Of course. So you ended up just winding your own.
Yep, through trial and error.
Okay, well, obviously you needed more oomph. You needed more power. And I guess that's when, and bear in mind, folks, at that, how old were you then, Mike?
21.
21 years old. And I think, were you working then? I don't think you were.
Yeah, actually, I was living. I was working at the local. I don't even remember the name of the industrial lumber sales. I think was the name of the place.
Okay, well, that's right. But not rich.
No, not by a long shot.
Okay, so at some point, your 21-year-old brain said, "Transformer, transformer, where can I get a transformer or two?" And that's I guess when you came up with the idea of looking around for a spare power company transformer.
Yeah, I mean, basically, it's like, well, I need more KVAs. It's like, oh, a pole transformer. Those are powerful enough.
They certainly are.
So, anyhow, there's in King City. At the time, I was living in Stanbury, Missouri, and King City, about maybe 10 or 12 miles south of there, there was like half a dozen of them just standing outside the fence in the substation that powers all of King City. It was just outside the substation, so it's like...
Obviously not in use at the time.
No, I mean, I've heard of people actually attempting to take them off poles, and I've never heard of a successful attempt from that.
Not a good idea at all.
No.
And these were just what, sitting on the ground?
I'm sitting on like a little makeshift bench outside the fence. Obviously, I guess they were used for spare. Some of them were just taken out of service due to their age. So.
Sure. And you saw them sitting there, and they were saying to you, come here, Mike, get me.
I mean, it's like, well, if the local utility aren't going to use them, I can. So,
so you loaded up. What did you do, take a truck over there?
I paid a friend/coworker of mine. He had a pickup truck, so I basically paid him basically $100 to drive down there and help me pick these things up. Because these things aren't light. I mean, when the utility picks them up on the pole, they got a crane to do it.
Oh, yeah.
So they weigh like 250 pounds each, so they're not light.
How did you even get them up on the truck? I guess it took how many of you?
Three of us. Basically, it was him, him and a friend of his and me. So.
Well.
And it was still basically a struggle to get them in there. So, but we managed. So.
You know, Mike, the police would usually call those people co-conspirators or something else.
Yeah. I mean, I basically told them, hey, I'm the mastermind. They're not going to, they'll take that into consideration, but they're not going to say, oh, you're the main guy that did it. They're not just going to let everybody else go.
Anyway, you got away with them, right?
Obviously, I ended up doing the most time, but they didn't get off scot-free. So.
I see. Yeah, you did do some time. There's no question about that. So you got these transformers, and you got them back to your what, apartment?
I was living in a house.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how long did you have the transformers before, on the door?
I'm going from memory, rough memory here. I want to say anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks, maybe.
Oh, 4 to 6 weeks. Okay,
yeah,
so that's...
I remember taking him in January, then getting arrested, like at... early, maybe in February, I think. No, I got arrested January 29th. Actually, it may have been December when I took those.
Well,
long ago. I don't know the exact date.
Sure, that's fine. Now interested in the time between when you got them to your house and you got arrested. Were you able to actually fire one of them up?
Kind of, sort of. Basically, one of them I couldn't use with the rest of them because eventually I was going to basically wire them all together. Well, I couldn't use. I didn't see, there was like half a dozen of them, so it's like I was only going to take a couple, and I figured, same. Basically, this is, if I get busted, this is going to be about the same amount of time no matter what anyway, so I might as well take the rest. Basically, I got greedy. So.
Well, tell people a transformer of this sort that goes on a pole. Typically converts, 14,000, 15,000 volts. It depends on what kind of pole it is.
That's the reason I couldn't use one of them, so I ended up converting it into a piggy bank. So, because it was an old one. I mean, it was only rated at 2,400 volts, and I had 2,400 volt lines in forever.
Yeah.
Like 50 years, so.
So the one that you actually used was what?
A bunch of them were 7,200/12,470 Y. So
you're basically using them backwards and then putting them in series.
Yeah, what they do is step power line voltage down to 220-240 for your house. Well,
that's
basically feeding it backwards, putting 240 in it and getting 12,000 out of it.
That's right. And then going, I guess, so you used only one, or did you actually have them...
Eventually, I was going to wire them. Basically, the other the other. I was then going eventually going to use four of them and basically make them basically parallel the primaries and series the secondaries. So and get,
good
and get like 50,000 volts out of it that
way. You never did that.
No, I ended up getting busted.
Before that, okay. But you did do, I guess you got to do one experiments with one transformer wired up?
Yep, and, well, basically these days I know to use some sort of ballast or whatever, because if you short it out without a ballast, it'll draw about 20 times what it's rated for.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, and it was a 25 kVA transformer. Well, wait a minute. I mean, no, that one was sitting in the living room. I was only using, I think a 10 kVA was on the back porch at the time.
Uh-huh.
So, but without a ballast, 10 kVA times, that's 200,000 watts. So.
Right. That's right.
Anyhow, when you draw that kind of power, you end up crashing a good-sized chunk of the grid. I didn't crash it all together, but it was browning out a good-sized chunk of the town. So.
Yeah, which they didn't pop you for, right?
Believe it or not, that is not exactly what caught the, basically, I mean, they knew something, what the heck's going on with a power grid, that's what the local utility supervisor was going, wondering what the heck was happening, so.
Yeah. But you didn't do jail time for that?
No.
Okay.
Well, it was, yeah, I mean, it was for the theft, it wasn't because I was basically making the power grid go nuts, so.
Okay, well, tell me, when you, is, and, oh, let's see, where to go, slow down, Art. You obviously had to feed all that voltage and current to a new Jacob's ladder that you had put together, right?
Yeah, and I couldn't use clothes hanger wire for that because would simply melt the wire because it was
too much.
Yeah, I mean, it was at 12,000 volts at several amps, so.
Okay, so what are you using now for the ladder?
I think it was like half-inch metal rod, so.
Good idea.
It was aluminum, so yeah.
Yeah, good idea. Okay. What about laser? Did you still fire it with a laser?
Well, that's another thing too. Basically, what I ended up doing is I ended up rebuilding the CD laser, I guess you could say. Actually, what I did is I ended up starting another one. Just got another CD player. So
yeah, they're cheap.
And what I was going to do, it's like, oh, here's a CO2 laser tube that this guy had. And I was like, I was going to end up eventually save my money and buy that. But they're like $1,000, so that was going to take a while. So.
Yeah. So, all right, you fire this one up, and that's the point where you sort of denigrated the grid of the town.
Yeah, basically it was browning
out the town.
Yeah, well, not the whole town. At first I thought it was the whole town, but as many complaints I was hearing at work, it's like, hey, you got it, because I was basically, all my coworkers were saying, hey, basically you got to be careful about that, my lights were going out. And that guy, and basically this guy's lived like several blocks from me, so it wasn't like a local area. So
yeah, those kind of power outages are really bad. The brownouts kind of can damage stuff.
Yeah, it was like, well, the 120-volt outlets was dropping down to 80 or 90, so
that's
good. And they were asked, basically, the utility supervisor was going around town asking all the industrial people
what they were doing.
Yeah, if they were doing any heavy welding or whatever, so.
The power company would know sort of the general area from which this problem was emanating.
Yeah, well, I mean, Stanbury is a small town at the time. If I remember, I did, it only had like 12, maybe 1,000, not even 1,000 people in it, so. It's, you know, I don't even think they had a stoplight, so.
Certainly not after that experiment, anyway. All right, so Mike, what happened with this bigger ladder?
Well, I mean, as far as making things disappear with it, I'm not sure. I mean, I didn't really have to basically get to a chance to do a lot with it before I ended up getting busted.
Oh, my.
So, but I did make a couch disappear, but I did, that's the weird part, is basically a couch disappeared, but I didn't see anybody, I didn't toss in the couch, and the thing wasn't on at the time when it disappeared, so.
Well, what else could you possibly attribute a missing couch to?
Well, I mean, at the time it disappeared, I did have a few friends over, and basically, I mean, we had like a little
party.
Yeah, I mean, basically, it's like, and at first I thought they were playing a prank on me because they knew about it. At the time before the media caught wind of what I was doing, I only told like four or five of my closest friends about it. So,
All right, so how did you get busted? Did they knock on the door suddenly? I mean, how did this happen? Did somebody else give you up?
What happened was basically a relative of a friend of mine. He's not exactly the basically a genius. He decided to take a BB gun. A friend of mine said, basically loaned me his BB gun or whatever.
Yeah.
And, well, this other friend, of basically a relative of a friend of mine, basically I had him over. I can't remember what the heck he was there for. But anyhow, long story short, he finds a BB gun and decides to shoot birds with it. Thing is, though, when he was doing that, he wasn't thinking of what was behind the birds, and he ended up shooting a couple holes across and my neighbor's sliding glass door across the street.
So I got
them calling in a vandalism. So I got the cops calling in vandalism, and that got them sniffing around. So
somebody calls the cops. The cops come, look at the vandalism, and then how do they get you?
Well, these Transformers, they're pretty big. They're about the size of a trash can. So I guess, I don't know if the local utility already reported the Transformers stolen or whatever, but not just everybody has a Transformer, like a utility pole Transformer sitting in their living room. So they're probably wondering what the heck is going on here.
So they were able to look into, what did they do, knock on your door? I mean,
they came in with a search warrant, searching for a BB gun, and if I remember right, the Transformers were on the search warrant, too, so they made no effort to hide them, so.
Well, I don't know where you'd put them anyway, they're too big.
Yeah, I mean, so long story short, I basically got busted red-handed, so.
Okay. All right, so in you go. They sweat you, I'm sure, for your buddies' names and all that kind of stuff. And then eventually you have a court date, right?
Yep. I ended up doing 60 days in jail and 5 years probation.
God, 5 years probation. And that brings another thing to mind.
Well, I mean, if it's a Class C felony, which just causes the value of them, so.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, anyway, I remember your parole officer actually called my show.
Yeah, that was the arresting officer, Tom, what is his name? I can't remember.
Oh, he's actually a good guy.
So, I mean, it's a small town. Everybody knew everybody long before all this went down, so.
Okay, so he's part of the legend now.
Yeah, and I didn't make a resist arrest, and basically he was just doing his job, so I don't hold a grudge against him,
so. Yeah.
So
the power company gets their Transformers back. You go away for 60 days. That must have screwed up your life, but good. Because by then, I don't know, you probably don't have a job anymore.
My former employer thought I contaminated his plant with PCBs. So I don't think he wanted me to come back after that.
All right. So that's the early Madman story. And I called you Madman because I was convinced you were going to absolutely fry yourself alive and turn into a French fry. There are other people who have been involved in time travel, Mike, that I've had on the show, and honest to God, Mike, they're gone. I don't know where they are, whether it's Teeter or Anderson, others that we've had on the show, they're gone. I mean, they're gone. You can't find them. Anyway, we need to come up to date from the story back then. I know that after I did the show with you, you gave out your phone number and address and stuff on the air, right?
Yeah.
That was you. You volunteered to do that, remember?
Yep.
I didn't make you do that.
No.
Put that on the record.
Yeah, I figured out what bad could happen.
Now you know.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And good. I mean, it was good and bad.
Learns through experience.
Yeah. And so at this point, you're out of jail. You want to build something even bigger and better. And there was a good aspect of your being on the show. I mean, you got donations. You got money from people and help from people. You got some, I believe you got some Transformers, right?
Transformer lamination so I could build my own, so.
Right. That's a lot of help, actually.
I got some money out of it, but most of it was actually equipment. So,
and I believe somehow you also came up with a warehouse.
Yeah, that was the beauty of it. Basically, this guy said, "Well, you pay the electric bill, but you can do, basically right now it's empty. You can do what you want here for a few months." So it's like, okay, cool, thanks.
Were you yet re-employed at that point, or?
Yeah, I can't remember the name of the place, but yes, I did have a job. When I got out of jail, I ended up I was kind of a pariah in Stanbury, so.
Why were you
many,
a pariah?
I mean, it's a small town. There's not that many jobs there to begin with, so I ended up moving to St. Joseph when I got out of jail, so.
Well, you know, I would think after the show you would have been almost a hero in town. But you say pariah.
Not everybody's like, he's the nutcase that built the time machine, so.
Yeah. So. Okay. All right, so you were now at a new location. And now you've got a warehouse, and you've got enough money to be dangerous. So you, at this point, start building what?
Well, long story short, I realized that actually I did a lot of thinking in jail when I was in jail. What could have caused this? I mean, 60 days in jail, that gives me a lot of time to think.
It does.
So I ended up. Long story short, I realized that it would be more efficient if I used magnetic, because I was thinking maybe it's a rotating plasma that causes this.
Right.
So I figured, okay, maybe it'll be more efficient if I use, instead of using basically heat from a laser in a cold room, the differential, the temperature difference between those two to stir the plasma, maybe even more efficient if I use the magnetic field to stir it. So that's what I ended up doing.
Use the magnetic field to do what?
In simple terms, this thing looks like a plasma tornado. So.
How do you form a plasma tornado?
This thing looks like a, I think on when I told you about this during the second interview, like back in late 96, early 97, I can't remember when it was. It looks like you called it a Stargate. It's not really, it doesn't exactly look like a Stargate SG-1, but because it's vertical instead of horizontal, so.
Okay, but again, what formed it?
What I ended up using was a bunch of cascaded transformers.
Cascaded transformers. So how much, at that point, how much voltage were you producing?
3 million volts at 1 amp, but there was 24 phases, so.
3 million volts at an amp?
Yep.
Good God. That's enough?
Yeah, that was basically big spark, so.
And you were pulling this from the power company. This time, I presume.
Well, not all of it from the power company. Basically, I had generators, too. Basically, I was trying to avoid raising a stink with the utility, so I learned from that too. So
yes, okay. So you built a large Jacob's ladder. I mean, this time, how big?
Well, at this point, it wasn't really a purpose Jacob's ladder. Basically, it was two cylinders, one cylinder inside the other.
Right.
With a circle of magnetic electromagnets around it, stirring it the whole. Basically, you got a bunch of plasma inside of it with a magnetic field rotating it.
You know what you are describing. I'm sure you've heard stories of the Philadelphia experiment, right?
Yeah.
Well, they described a similar electronic setup with regard to the rotating magnetic fields. Is this where, did you get any of that story? I mean, is that where some of your idea came from?
Not directly. I mean, I've heard of it, basically, but I didn't know. I knew they used RF. Well,
right.
I was at the other side of the spectrum. I was using magnetic low frequencies. Yeah. Okay. So in the plasma, it wasn't just like from my original Jacob's ladder. It was just plain old 60 hertz sine wave AC that you get from any outlet. Well, this was I was using square waves where I could actually, it was easy controlling the duty cycle. It's easy to control the voltage that way.
Right.
So, because you can't really find, it's hard to find variacs rated at megawatts. So,
man, I'll tell you, if you were using square waves, I bet the ham operators heard you for miles.
Well, that was the beauty of the warehouse. It was metal, so it acted as a Faraday cage.
Okay. Did you wind all these electromagnets yourself?
Yep.
So you must have been like in that warehouse every day working.
Oh, yeah. I mean, basically, I technically lived in St. Joseph, Missouri, but the warehouse itself, if I remember right, was in Overland Park, Kansas, which is basically a suburb of Kansas City. So.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, and that was a long commute. So most of the time, I just hung out at the warehouse. Most of the time, I just ate and slept at the warehouse. So.
Right, got it. 3 million volts at an amp. So you've got these rotating magnetic fields, and then you've got, you said, a cylinder inside a cylinder.
Yeah, instead of just two metal rods,
right,
with a spark in between, basically, at any one time, there's actually 23 sparks, because it's actually each one of those 3 million volts.
Right.
There are 15 degrees out. There's a 24 phases, 15 degrees out of phase. It's like three-phase industrial power, 20 degrees out of phase for that.
Right.
Well, this was like 24 phases, 15 degrees.
Wow.
Each other. So.
Okay, so you two of these separated in a Jacobs-like ladder configuration, right?
Yeah.
And then these rotating magnetic fields. By now, you're using a lot of power.
Yeah, I mean, basically, the warehouse had, if I remember right, the warehouse had 400 amp three-phase 480 available, but even that couldn't do it all by itself. So,
didn't you at some point think, look, I'm working with here is not just a little dangerous; it's kill me dead dangerous.
Oh yeah, I mean, it only takes
one mistake,
50 to 100 milliamps to kill you, and
that's
this
right.
is an amp. So
yeah, that's right.
And with that kind of current, it only takes maybe a couple thousand volts to get that kind of current flowing through you, and this is 3 million. So.
Oh yeah, I think in the electric chair it's like 2,500 volts, something like that.
Yeah,
this is 3 million volts at an amp. Oh God! All right, so it took you how long to build this thing to the point where you were ready to test?
Oh, geez. I would say probably 18 months, I guess.
18 months.
Yeah. But basically, the guy that owned the warehouse, the deal was like maybe 3 months or so, and it ended up he kept us like, well, this is pretty cool. Okay, I'll go ahead and let you stay a little longer. So go ahead and stay a little longer.
So he actually came and checked out your act?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I figured, well, he's nice enough to let me lay on the warehouse. I'd let him out, basically let him watch, too. So
Sure.
So.
Did he want to see the big test?
Well, yeah. I mean, him and basically everybody that donated stuff, I more or less let them in on the project. So.
Okay. Wow. All right. So I remember talking to you.
Altogether, I think there was like 25, maybe 30 people. So
for the big test.
Yeah.
I really wanted to come out there myself. And I've got to be honest with you, Mike, I thought you were dead for a long time.
You know what? I bet the people that donated too, once I didn't ended up disappearing, but we're getting ahead of ourselves, I think.
We are a little bit, but, honestly, I thought you were dead. I thought you were gone. I was pretty sure you'd fried yourself or that you had been, and I thought about this too, Mike, that you might have been successful. And you might be in a different time. And anyway, let's continue. So the big test comes. All these people are watching. You fire the generators up. You've got the incoming power. And what was your test going to be?
At first I was tossing hamsters and guinea pigs in it. So
really.
Yeah,
living things.
It was small things before. I'm not just going. I mean, at the time, I had basically a more like almost infinite risk tolerance, I guess you could put it.
Infinite risk tolerance. Well, anyway, okay. So hamsters and guinea pigs. How did they fare? I mean, what happened to them?
Well, basically, instead of the original experiment where I made a screw disappear for half a second. Well, right. These guinea pigs, they were disappearing for anywhere from 1 to 2 minutes, and they were basically either 50 and 150 yards east or west of where they disappeared.
East or west of the point of disappearance, but not north or south?
Nope. And basically, as far as why, I'm thinking it has something to do with the Earth's magnetic field. That's the only thing I can think of. So.
Well, that's interesting. And they would show up how far away from the test point?
Between 50 and 150 yards.
So people had to go out and hunt for these things.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like, okay, this disappeared. Let's see where it showed up at. At first it was just what I did is I did some low power tests and basically made it disappear farther and farther away.
Right.
So.
And
yeah, but
you had witnesses.
As it expect, basically, the further away it was, the harder it was to find them.
Sure, you had witnesses at that point, or yeah. Not? Yes, you did. Okay.
Yeah, so, and I was actually getting video of these all this stuff. So.
So you have that video.
Well, that's what sucks. We'll get to that part
all right,
eventually,
all right.
But.
All right, anyway, you were getting video of it, and you were tossing these animals through. How big was this thing at this point?
It was basically, going from memory, I would say about the outer diameter of it was about 17 feet,
wow.
Maybe 15 feet tall.
Really?
It was 35 feet off the ground, basically. Well, 3 million volts is difficult to insulate. Now, basically, I was actually part of the reason for the 24 phase stuff because basically adjacent phases are a lot less voltage than 3 million.
Sure.
But in reference to ground, it's still 3 million volts. So, and 3 million volts will jump 27 feet. So.
Oh, my God. So 35 feet, you say, above?
Yeah, it was raised the whole contraption where, well, the hot part of it was, 35 feet off the ground, off the floor. So. And the thing itself was 15, basically from the bottom of it to the top of it was about 15 feet. So
these people and you could observe these animals disappearing and then find them. And when you found them, were they intact?
They were perfectly fine as far as I could tell. I mean, obviously they can't talk and report me and tell me how they feel or anything.
Of course
not. Yeah. But as far as like physical condition, they were fine. So
what? At that point, Mike, I'm sure you began to think we're in another realm here. I mean, what we're doing with these animals at this point is what? They disappear, they reappear elsewhere. So did they travel in time? They certainly traveled in space, and they certainly disappeared. So at this point, what are we talking about?
Well, I don't know. At first, I didn't know if it was a... that's the problem. Basically, sometimes it took hours to find these things, and I don't know if that was because they were gone for hours and we just happened to now find them, or they were gone that whole time.
I understand, right?
So, the smaller scale stuff, what was happening? Basically, they were basically disappeared and then they reappear again. So.
Right, so it's hard to tell if they ran from where they appeared.
Yeah.
Outside, and
yeah. With the inanimate objects, basically, at first I was trying things like baseballs, fruit, stuff like that. So.
And the same thing happened to the inanimate objects.
Obviously that stuff's not going to run. So.
No. No, but where did it show up?
Same place. The small scale, the low power test, basically anywhere from a few feet to a few yards from where they disappeared. So
the higher the voltage and power, the further away they would go.
Yeah. Well, I mean, keep in mind. That's another thing I was trying to figure out is what exactly controls. the where this stuff shows up at. Was it the voltage or the...
Covered the the early years, I guess, is really the way to put it. So, Mike, welcome back. Somebody asks a question. It goes back. Otis wanting to know, how do BB gunshots warrant a search warrant? Well, remember, on that search warrant also were the transformers, which means either they knew ahead of time. Did you ever find out, Mike, did they know ahead of time, or did they go over there and say, ooh, look at that, let's go get a search warrant?
This is just a guess, my guess is that the guy that got busted for the BB thing, he more or less spilled the beans on me to give him, so he could get a lighter sentence or something. I don't know. That's what my guess is. I never have figured out exactly what happened, though.
All right, do me a favor and back about an inch away from the phone. It's really a good connection, actually.
Okay, can you hear me now?
I can. I hear you fine. Just eliminates the popping. Okay. All right, so now here we are. You're experimenting with animals. They're turning up elsewhere. They're disappearing and then turning up elsewhere. So you've got to sit down and start. I'm sure you were asking yourself, okay, so what the hell's happening here? What am I doing to these creatures? Obviously, they're okay, but is it time travel? Is it just shifting? Is it disappearance and shifting of location? Or... I mean, you had to begin to wonder about the theory of what was going on.
Yeah, I mean, the low-power tests, they were actually, they weren't just stopping once, like, disappear in the center of the tornado and reappear, nearby right away. Sometimes they would disappear for a minute, sometimes 2 minutes. So.
Well, when did you begin considering, I remember interviewing you, and you were considering yourself. You were considering trying this thing yourself. And kind of what I last remember, and that's why I thought you were dead.
I got pretty confident. I got pretty bold and confident after so many successful tests. There was one test where I tried a grapefruit or an orange. I can't remember what it was. It was something similar to that, some citrus fruit. And that was never retrieved, so I don't know if it ended up in space, disintegrated, or what, but...